friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio, broadcasting today from beautiful Lafayette, California, in the San Francisco Bay Area. I want to thank everyone so much for listening today and helping me make this world a better place. The purpose of this show is to raise consciousness and help us through the ascension, which is happening right now. I want to thank everyone so much for all their beautiful support. Out of This World Radio is one of the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio programs in the world, with over 200,000 listeners in over 100 countries. I want to thank Doug and Don for their fantastic support, and everyone for their wonderful birthday wishes last weekend. I'm now 16 years old, although I don't look it, and I feel great. On today's show, I'll be discussing messages I received over the weekend, or this past week, from President George Washington, Thomas Jefferson, Dwight D. Eisenhower, John F. Kennedy, and other presidents about the U.S. elections. I'll also be reading a short message from Simon Parks from Connecting Consciousness on meditations for a peaceful and happy world and the U.S. elections. Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit, listener-supported show. And if you'd like to donate, please go to our website at www.outofthisworldradio.net and either one of the PayPal buttons. It's just $5 a month or $50 for the year. But of course, you don't have to donate to listen, but we appreciate your support. We really do. I'm also broadcasting on Fridays in Miami, Florida on WWNN from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern Time, and in Vienna, Austria from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Central European Time. The show there is different. It's in German and English. I have different guests. And if you'd like to listen, please go to my website at outofthisworldradio.net, and I'm sure you'll enjoy it. It's a wonderful show in both German and in English. I'm also starting a new Spanish language program this afternoon at 3 p.m. It'll be from 3 p.m. to 4 p.m. this afternoon out of BBS Radio 1 in San Francisco here. And I have a fantastic first guest, Dr. Angel Luis Fernandez. He's the head of the World Peace and Light Conference he has every year in the Dominican Republic and elsewhere. I've attended his conferences several times. He's a wonderful man, and I'm so happy he'll be coming on today. I wanted to tell everyone as well that if you'd like to get in touch with the other side or get a good psychic reading, please give me a call or send me an email. I've been in touch with the other side now for about 25, 26 years, and I regularly put people in touch with people who passed on, like parents, brothers, sisters, relatives, friends. I can also put people in touch with their pets as well. Just send me an email if you're interested at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can book a session with me you can book a session with me at outofthisworldreadings.com. Also, too, on Monday afternoons from noon to 5 p.m. Pacific time, I do arrange sessions with Q. If you're interested in talking to Q, please send me an email at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Year before last, I published a book called Messages from the Masters. It's a book with messages from Albert Einstein, President Kennedy, and many other great spirits on our beautiful, bright future. And if you'd like a copy, it's just $20, and you can order it on my website at outofthisworldreadings.com, or you can send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. The book includes this amazing newspaper article from November 22nd, 1963. And it's from New Zealand. And the thing is about this newspaper article, the article was published while President Kennedy was still alive. Yes, that's correct. It was published on November 23rd, 1963. And November 23rd in New Zealand, of course, is November 22nd here in the United States. And actually, when this story about Oswald shooting Kennedy came out from the U.S. Embassy, it came out on November 22nd. In New Zealand, which was November 21st in the United States, and Jack Kennedy was still very much alive in Washington, D.C. You may say, well, how could that happen? Well, it was obviously a conspiracy, and there's lots more to tell about it. And in the article itself, it talks about three shots being fired at President Kennedy, not one, as according to the Warren Commission, you know, the magic bullet that zigzagged all over the place. But it's an interesting article, and if you like, it comes with the book, if you like a copy of the book. I'm also offering these beautiful 528 hertz tuning forks. 528 is the frequency of love. And when you hit this tuning fork with a Lemurian crystal from Mount Shasta that's full of love and light, you get love everywhere. And I especially think that Boy, the U.S. and the world needs lots of love nowadays with all the with the elections and what's going on. So I'm going to hit this. It's now you're listening to the frequency of love. If you've ever wanted to know what the frequency of love is, well, this is it. And let's do it one more time. Nice. If you like one, just go to my website at outofthisworldreadings.com, or you can send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I also go to Mount Shasta several times a year, and I'm going to Machu Picchu in Peru in January and March. The country should be open by then. Actually, the Peru is opening up this month. So if you'd like to go, just visit my website at outofthisworldreadings.com, and all the information is there. Finally, I've been collecting monies to help the wonderful Hopi Indians in Arizona with both food and clean water now for the last couple of years. We've been providing through donations, clean water filters for the Hopi so they can drink clean water. For the last 60 years, believe it or not, they've been drinking arsenic and radiation contaminated water on the Hopi reservation, with the result that men live to only about 44 years and women live maybe 54 years. That's about half of what it is in the rest of the United States, and I consider that unacceptable. If you'd like to help out in getting clean water to the Hopi, just send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can go to my website at outofthisworldreadings.com. All the information is there. There's a rock on the Hopi Reservation. It's called Prophecy Rock, and on the rock itself, there's two lines on it. The bottom line is a straight line around the rock, and that signifies our future if we live in peace and harmony with the planet. But if we fight and argue and have conflict among each other and continue to pollute this poor Mother Earth, there's a line also above. There's another line on this rock too that says it goes up at a 45-degree angle, zigzags, and then stop. And that represents the end of civilization. And according to Hopi elders on the Hopi reservation, if we don't learn to live in harmony and peace, and learn to love each other in a good way, this civilization will definitely end. And I have some more messages from that, from President George Washington in just a few minutes. I've been talking to him this weekend, and he's very concerned about what happened with the elections. I'll now go into my segment on the elections. And I'm so glad, thank you. I'm getting a lot of nice comments here on the air. From what President Washington tells me, he says that Biden and the Democrats actually stole the U.S. election with hundreds of thousands of fake votes and fake ballots. Mr. Trump actually won the U.S. election with about 80% of the vote. But this is the last battle of good versus evil on the planet before we finally shift into the fifth dimension. And all my great spirit friends, including George Washington, say that we have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us. President Washington wanted to give you an important message since he founded the country. He wants us all to reflect now on what would be the best choice to create the reality of a positive future. He said to keep positive because we're all powerful spiritual beings meant to create a much better and happier world. And he says we all need to be brought back together because we are steering away from democracy. He said that him and Thomas Jefferson and John Quincy Adams and all the founders of the Constitution did not create the United States as a democracy for us to be continually bickering in partisan politics. This is, we're steering away from the true purpose of the United States. We are supposed to live in harmony and peace and create a much better and more beautiful planet. And I don't know if you can see it, but I'm getting a lot of light on the right side of my face. And I think it's angelic light coming in from the angels as I speak, but I really appreciate their help. What's been fascinating, you can tell how controlled the media is in the United States, is because nothing's been said in the controlled media about Biden's crooked past, about how he was engaged in all these criminal activities in the Ukraine. Nothing, absolutely wiped from the screen, but it's still there and it's still a problem. But President Washington says we all need to realize that we are all one, and we all need to come together to create a beautiful future for ourselves and our children and our children's children. Finally, I've received, he also said that we need to dispel all negativity from the U.S., from the mass media, and know that there will always be cheaters, he says. But do not allow yourself to go down that rabbit hole, because the truth will prevail. This is a time, he says again, a time of reflection, to ask yourself truly what you believe will be the best choice, the best reality of a positive future, not only for the United States, but everyone around the world. He said that they are all helping, including President Kennedy, of course, Presidents Jefferson, Washington, John Quincy Adams, Teddy Roosevelt, FDR, Dwight D. Eisenhower. All the presidents are helping with this. And we're getting a lot of help from the other side, even though you may not realize it. The truth will come out. He said that Biden is a crook, and he will be exposed as a crook. And many of the elections for the last, 40 or 50 years have all been altered. They've never given the truth results. This is what Q was telling me yesterday. He said, once people find out how the elections are rigged, they will be totally shocked. And we'll probably have a new system after that. I've been told a quantum system. Here in Washington State, where I live, we have a Democratic governor here named Jay Inslee. Jay Inslee is extremely unpopular. Nobody likes him. And I speak from that first experience of talking to people around the state. Yet he came away with 65% of the vote, which is mathematically impossible. But I think what's going to happen, what I've been told, that there are watermarks on genuine ballots that were used in this U.S. election. And now the military and the National Guard are going through these ballots to see how many of those ballots that have been turned in by the Democrats are actually false. They will be thrown out. It's going to take some time, but I know the truth will prevail. So don't pay attention to the mass media about Biden winning. It's false news, and it'll be shown to be false here in the next couple of months. Finally, from Simon Parks, he says that I got this message from England this morning. I'd like to read a part of it. He'd like to take a positive role regarding the American elections. He said to ask everyone to send love and light to President Trump and the United States and the world for peace on this planet. And he doesn't want people to attack Joe Biden. Instead, he wants to do a worldwide meditation for strength for human consciousness. He said that we're counteracting negative forces who are trying to destabilize and disconnect humanity from their belief systems. This is a time of truth, and your meditation should only be a few minutes long. And if we all join together to create a better world, I know we could do it. And I can't agree with Simon any more than that. The U.S. elections, according to President George Washington, represent a turning point in American and world history, and a chance for all of us to have a better and happier life without war or continued conflict. There was clearly voter fraud, he says, with hundreds of thousands of ballots, fake ballots, being entered into the election across many states, including Pennsylvania. In one county in Wisconsin had 112,000 mail-in ballots entered into their election database at 4 a.m. on November 4th, when there was only 100,000 people living in the county where the ballots came in. So clearly there was voter fraud. It's probably the most voter fraud we've ever seen in American history, but it's all that truth is going to come out now. After this segment, I'll be bringing on Irvin Laszlo. He's one of the world's most famous scientists, twice nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. He'll be talking about how we can create a better world. At 11 a.m., the top of the next hour, I'll be bringing in the former Canadian Minister of Defense, Paul Hillier. Paul is one of the most honest politicians I've ever known. He's a wonderful man. He's just come out with a new book. We'll be discussing that in just a few minutes. We have some time. I'd like to bring in my good friend, Scott, here. Scott, could you come on? We've got some time. Scott would like to do some prayers here. Scott, we've probably got about 5, max 10 minutes, maybe. The shorter the better. But Scott has been in touch with Saint Germain and other beautiful spirits now. And Saint Germain came to him. He gave me a call a few minutes before coming on the show, wanted to do some prayers with Saint Germain. And I said, you know, your timing is perfect. I guess in the spirit world, it's always divine intervention and divine purpose. So Scott, go right ahead. Please say your prayers, and then we'll go off to an interview with Irvin Laszlo, one of the world's most famous scientists, on how we can make this planet a better place.
Okay. So Saint Germain wanted me to do a love meditation because we all need to be filled with the love and light of God. So we'll start that right now. Just kind of bear with me. Going to play a little music with it. I want you all to take a big deep breath and bring the love of God into your heart. Go down into the earth with your love and then up into the heavens. And bring it back down, the love of God, into your heart and release anything that is not the love of God. Breathe in again. The love of God into your heart. My heart only feels the love of God. The love of God is all I feel in my heart. And release. As you breathe out, release anything that isn't love of God. Breathe in again. The love of God into your heart. And know that the love of God is with you. The love of God surrounds you. The love of God is all around you. And release. Breathe in again. The love of God into your heart. Move it up into your throat chakra. I speak only words of love to others. And I hear only the words of love from others. And breathe out. Breathe in again. The love of God into your heart. Bring it up into your throat chakra, the law of threes. I speak only the words of God. And I hear only the love of God. And breathe out. Releasing anything that isn't that. Breathe in again. Into your heart, the love of God, and bring it up into your throat chakra. I speak only the words of God to all those around me. And I only hear the love and the words of God in my heart. And release. Bring in again. Love of God into your heart and bring it up into your third eye. I see the love of God in the entire world. And I only see the love of God in all the people and beings on earth. And release. Breathe in again. The love of God in your heart and bring it up into your third eye. I see only the love of God, and the love of God is all that I see. Breathe out. Breathe in again. The love of God into your heart, bring it up into your third eye. The love of God is seen throughout the universe, and the universe sees only the love of God. Release. Now bring it up into your heart, the love of God, and up into your mind. The love of God fills my mind with the loving thoughts of God and release. Breathe in again. The love of God into your heart, bring it up into your mind. My mind only thinks of the loving thoughts of God. And the loving thoughts of God's love are with you. And breathe out. Breathe in again. Into your heart, God's love, and bring it up into your eighth chakra, the mighty I Am Presence. The love of God permeates my soul. My heart, my mind, and my soul are one with the love of God and release. Breathe in again, the love of God, and bring it up into your mighty I Am Presence. I am the love of God, and the love of God is in me. I am the love of God. Peace. Breathe in again, the love of God in your heart, bring it up into your eighth chakra. The love of God is in me and surrounds me. Through space, time, dimension, all of my interdimensional selves, and release. Now bring the love of God into your heart again, Bring it down into your solar plexus. I feel only the love of God. The love of God is all that I can release. Anything that isn't the feelings. Breathe in again. The love of God. Bring it down your solar plexus. I am the feeling of God, the love of God. And the love of God is what I am feeling always and release. Breathe in again. The love of God into your heart. Bring it down in the solar plexus. Any feelings that are not the love of God, I release them and I replace them with the love of God. And breathe in again into your heart chakra. The love of God, and bring it down into your creative chakra, the sacral plexus. I create only with the love of God, and release anything that is not being from the love of God. Breathe in again. Breathe in the love of God into my heart and bring it down into my creative center. And everything that is being created on the planet is being created with the love of God. And release anything that is not being created with the love of God. Breathe in again. The love of God in your heart, bring it down in the creative center. I create with God, with God's love, and release anything that is. And breathe in again. Love of God in your heart, bring it down into your root chakra and down into the earth. I bring in the love of God to all the animals, plants, insects, all the kingdom of God in the earth, and release God. Breathe in again. Love of God into your heart, bring it down into your root chakra and into the earth. And the earth is filled with God's love from my heart, from the heart of God. Release anything that isn't. Then again, the love of God into your heart, and then bring it down into the root chakra, down into the earth, down into the deepest chambers of the earth, bringing God's love to all the beings inside the earth. And we spill the love of God to them and release anything that isn't the love of God. And the love of God, breathe it in another time into your heart and send it to all the humans on earth and the humans out in outer space. Fill them with the love of God. Thank you for spreading the love of God. And thank you, Ted Mayer, for bringing me on your show at the last minute. We give you the love of God. So is. Okay. I hope it didn't take too much time.
No, it was fine, Scott. Thank you so much. It was divine intervention. Beautiful. All right, my friends. Well, to stay strong, according to Presidents Washington, Jefferson, Dwight D. Eisenhower, Teddy Roosevelt, John F. Kennedy, we got them all here, friends, and they're all covering our back. And they didn't work as hard as they did, and they have over the centuries, to create the United States, to let it all be torn down in a false election with riots engineered across the country. This is a beautiful country. We have the majority of people in the United States all want a better life for all of us. And I know if we stay strong, we will have a positive and better future. And to the re-election of President Trump, one of the greatest presidents in the history of America, I'd like to start now with my next guest, Professor Irvin Laszlo, who is one of the world's most famous scientists on making this world a better place. Twice nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. He'll be coming to us from Italy in a pre-recorded interview. Thank you so much, Scott, for coming on.
Nominated twice for the Nobel Peace Prize. He is the author of 83 books translated into 21 languages, and he's come out with two fantastic books recently. One is, let me pull it up here, one is called Making the World, The Call for a New World, How We Can Build a Better World. And a second book, I'll pull that up in just a moment here, a second book as well, about how we can Crisis is opportunity, of course, for this new world. Irvin, tell us a little bit about your books, if you don't mind.
Well, last spring, just as the current crisis broke, I published a book, which was called Reconnecting to the Source. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know at that time that that's going to be so particularly relevant. I thought, in general, we always need to reconnect to something which is bigger than us,
sure,
a deeper reality, mm-hmm, and which is in us and around us. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, it turned out that this book incited a lot of interest because these people ask, what is the source? How can we reconnect to it? And why do we? And it was very clear that we need to do a reconnected of this kind. Mm-hmm. And then over the summer, when the global crisis really just arose and flooded us, I thought I'd write a kind of a guidebook or a manual. It's a tongue-in-cheek, actually. I call it the World Shift Manual, how to shift the world. More exactly, you know, how to create, how to build a better world. Because I feel that the crisis is not just a danger. It is a danger, of course, to all of us individually as well as collectively. Mm-hmm. But it is also a chance, an opportunity. So I thought I want to outline that element, that aspect of a crisis, mm-hmm, which destroys or loosens the old and allows space for the new. Mm-hmm. Doesn't necessarily come by itself, but I think it can come. And if we are clever and good and responsible, then we help to make it come, precisely by reconnecting to the source, by becoming what we truly are, mm-hmm, and helping our world to become a more natural and sustainable place, mm-hmm, because the old is now being destroyed to a very large extent. It is decaying. Mm-hmm. And to go back to it is becomes very difficult, very luckily difficult, because it wasn't a good thing to go back to. It wouldn't be a good thing. But we can go forward. And so this book is to try to show how we can go forward and how what each of us can do to be an architect of a better world.
President Kennedy, as you know, I talk to spirits on the other side, and President Kennedy has told me, Irvin, that once people realize that we all have the God source within us, then we will stop fighting, because all we're doing by fighting with each other is hurting ourselves. And once we realize that God's source within all of us, we'll realize that we're all one. And once we realize we're all one, peace and harmony should prevail here on the planet.
Well, I fully agree with that. I'm glad that you find that in your own intuitions, in your own prophetic knowledge, mm-hmm, because this source, which I can call the divine spark, or in the scientific context, I call it an attractor, is something that is built into the universe, which makes it move in one direction rather than another. Mm-hmm. And I think the direction in which the universe is moving spontaneously, mm-hmm, is what we need to master. That's the force. And that direction is toward coherence, toward oneness, toward integration, toward home, toward wholeness. And we have disrupted our connection to that, mm-hmm, to that that impulse, that source. And it's time to come back to it. I'm convinced that it's there. I'm not alone in being convinced. Great scientist Einstein himself, and Max Planck, and Gustav Jung, I'm sure that many of these that you yourself have been talking to on your own way, they have been telling us that there is something so-called spiritual in the world. There is something more than mechanical laws. There is something which creates a world which is constantly recreating itself and moving forward. And that was the natural impulse, which is in us just the same way as it is in every galaxy and in every quantum.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I've been told that what's called the Schumann resonance, or the frequency of planet Earth, Irvin, has gone up dramatically since 2016. Before September 2016, the Schumann resonance was at 7.8 hertz, and in September of 2016, Irvin, it doubled to 13.8 hertz. In parts of the planet now, it's well over 500 hertz. It looks like it's going to go a lot higher as well. And we have an old saying here in the United States that a rising tide lifts all boats. So people's vibrations seem to be rising with this increase in vibrations, leading to a beautiful new world, as you've written about.
Well, that's it. One feels that. You feel it. You can verbalize it. You can convey it. Mm-hmm. I feel it. And when I write, I don't write it, but I write with its guidance, as it were. Mm-hmm. I feel that I am being guided in the direction to express natural laws, find these laws, and then try to put it in a way that is convincing, mm-hmm. so that people believe that it's not just imagination. There is something really true in it, as you are yourself conveying. There is more to this world than the everyday perceptions of our eyes and ears.
Mm-hmm. That's true. As a psychic, I often go into the fifth dimension to do readings and look into the future and the past and the present and talk to spirits on the other side. And I think from what my guides tell me, Irvin, is that this planet now is shifting from the third dimension into the fourth and then fifth. And this process will be completed within the next 3 or 4 years. It'll be a very different, but a very much higher vibration world from what they tell me.
Well, we desperately need that. Mm-hmm. To stay in this level of vibration on these frequencies is to set forth the old world, and it's just to head to our greater and greater difficulties, more and more crises, unsustainabilities. Mm-hmm. We have developed a world which is heading in the wrong way. Mm-hmm. It was, as you say, operating in an old dimension which is now past its time. Mm-hmm. So we have to move on. I'm so glad that you find that this is a dimension is coming. I feel it. I try to find the scientific evidence for a new world. Mm-hmm. And I believe that we can help people realize this. You know, there is a very well-known aphorism. If you don't believe in something, you don't see it. Mm-hmm. And if you firmly believe that it's not possible, that this world will truly shift into higher dimension. We just don't perceive it, and we don't act like it would. We resist it, and that is bad for all concerned. So I think it's important not just to make the new world a wish fulfillment, but to find what is really true about the world and then live up to it. Mm-hmm. That is a key to our finding, to creating a better world, not as something arbitrary, mm-hmm. synthetic, but as something natural, which is there in the cosmos. Mm-hmm. I think this is a very guided, this is a very conscious cosmos, and we can perceive it and we can be guided by it.
My friend Albert Einstein has popped in and he said he'd like to help you with your work. He loves your books and is very admires your work, Irvin. And
he wouldn't have a greater and better guide than that. Tell him that I'm open to perceiving, to following, to receiving any guidance that he can give me.
All right. I will be happy to channel some messages for you. Later today, I'll meditate and send you an email from what he's going to give you some good suggestions on some future research for new books.
Well, I have a research institute which is precisely created to do path-breaking research. Mm-hmm. So we are ready. I have a good team. This institute established in Italy as a non-for-profit organization, and we are moving forward into examining and exploring what we call the new paradigm, mm-hmm. new paradigm coming from science for our life. So any indication that we can get how to research this new paradigm, how to research the right things so that we can really live in a better world and be more sensitive to the new world. Anything like this would be truly, truly appreciated.
Well, he's telling me now there's two things he'd like to point out to you, Irvin. The first off is that love is the most powerful and important force in the universe. And it was a force that he overlooked when he was, of course, a physicist. But at the end of his life in 1955, he wrote a letter to his daughter, Listral, called The Bomb of Love. And if he had to do his work over again, Irvin, instead of creating a bomb of destruction with the atomic bomb, he would have created a bomb of love that once detonated would have spread love everywhere and peace and harmony around the world.
Well, I can fully understand that. Mm-hmm. And it's a wonderful testimony that you have such an insight. You know, in my book, which, as I mentioned, was published last March, is the reconnecting to the source. I asked nearly 24 eminent people, living people in those, who are known for their integrity and for their insight. I asked them to recount whatever what they call spiritual experiences they've had, life-transforming experiences. Mm-hmm. They all recounted something that truly changed their life. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know about what each of the others is writing. Mm-hmm. I asked them individually. I brought them together, and it turned out almost miraculously that they all came up with the same notion. When you reach truly the height of the insight in these altered states of consciousness, what you feel is unconditional and universal love. Mm-hmm. And that's what they all came up with. They all written this down. People who are not known otherwise for being spiritual or mystical or metaphysical. They were physicists, business people, people of high integrity. And this is what they found. This is, in a way, what I have also surmised or felt in some way, particularly as in my days as a musician, as a concert pianist. Mm-hmm. At the highest moments of inspiration, mm-hmm. one feels this unconditional love for all things, for oneself, but for all the rest of the world around us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wonderful, wonderful. A second project he was interested in asking, he wanted me to ask you about, would be a spirit telephone from this dimension into the fifth dimension, where you could actually physically talk to Professor Einstein, Nostradamus, perhaps other great spirits of history. Would you be interested in working on that?
I certainly would, certainly would. I don't trust my telephone. I can use, of course, the internet. You know, Ted, I live out in the country, and I have a dedicated phone line just running above the ground on poles. And uh-huh. every time there is a storm, an electric storm, that line goes down. You know? And that happens fairly often.
Oh,
so
no.
I would like to have a spirit telephone that I can always count on and to talk to really, or talk to a higher dimension, which I try to reach but on using my own devices. But to have something that helps me in that would be greatly appreciated.
Great, great. Afterwards, I'd love to get your mailing address. I've written two books now. The first book, of course, is Messages from the Masters, and that's become a worldwide bestseller with messages from Albert Einstein, Nostradamus, President Kennedy, and others on our beautiful, bright future, which fits in with your work so well, because I love your attitude about science and making the world a better place, because that's what I like to do too. A second book I've written is just been sent off to the publishers in Germany, called Journey to the Other Side, talking to angels and other benevolent beings. So it's an instruction book, basically, on how to talk to the other side. But that book can be used as a blueprint for creating a spiritual telephone, I think, with Professor Einstein's help. So anyway, I'll get you a copy of that as well.
Wonderful. I look forward to it.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think? Thank you, Irvin. What do you think will happen in the coming? I know it's hard to tell the timelines. When do you think things will get back on track for a new normal world? By January, February, you think?
Well, I don't know. I'm being very practical. I think you have to wait 2 more days
yeah.
to see something a little more. It's right. very chaotic right now.
Right.
But if one is optimistic, mm-hmm. it still will take a few months, but perhaps by next spring.
Sure.
Being optimistic.
Mm-hmm. I do time travel. I have traveled into March and as well as next summer. And by March, things will have gone back to what's called a new normal. The virus is gone. Many of the lockdowns now have ended. And it'll be refreshing because I think society as a whole will have learned to live with one another better as a result of this. And I guess this leads me to my next question is, after this is all over with, what kinds of spiritual lessons do you think we can learn from what's happened this year so far?
My goodness, the lesson to learn is, to me, it comes from science, from the system sciences and from mm-hmm. evolutionary theory, mm-hmm. that evolution is not smooth and linear. Mm-hmm. It's full of jumps and leaps. And that's normal. some of the leaps and jumps are much bigger than others. Some of them bring us close to crisis, close to the bifurcation point. And those are the ones where we really have to be ourselves to live up to them. So I'm very strongly believe that our future is in our hands. Mm-hmm. Not something mechanical, predestined, but it's something that we can create, particularly when we have a crisis on our hand. Mm-hmm. And boy, do we have a crisis now. It's a global mm-hmm. crisis.
Sure.
So I think this, not just virus, it's politics, it's ecology, it's the entire human system on this planet. Mm-hmm. So I think this is the opportunity to learn that it's up to us to manage, to govern the tipping points. Mm-hmm. We are at a tipping point. Which way we go is really up to us. Mm-hmm. That, to me, is the great lesson to learn.
I think families are the bedrock of society, Irvin. And one thing that the lockdown, I know it's been hard on a lot of people, but one thing it's forced people to do is spend time with their families or children. And that, I think that's a good thing in many ways, because, as I said, families are the bedrock of society. And if we don't have a family, don't have a family base, we really don't have much.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. Hopefully this family life is not subject to depression by people because they have economic problems. Many people have very serious problems.
Sure.
But I think the living together is also another lesson. Facing a common enemy, facing something that we need to overcome together, uh-huh. it inspires solidarity. Mm-hmm. It inspires cooperation. Mm-hmm. And it demonstrates this particular crisis that we live through, demonstrates that mm-hmm. we are all in it.
Right.
We're only together.
Right.
And only together can we solve it. You can't do it by bits and pieces. It doesn't affect some bit and some piece in it. They're all in the same boat. And together, the entire crew of the boat, together with the boat, can put it into a safe harbor.
Sure.
And that, I think, is a great lesson that sure. we are now being taught.
And maybe that's one of I think I absolutely agree with you. Maybe this is the spiritual lesson, is for all of us to work together to create a better world. It's not one person that can do it, but the world as a whole working together in harmony and peace to create a better world.
What I find is, what is being expressed as love in science, we call it coherence. Mm-hmm. You know, coherence in the system is simply the condition in which every part of the system is finely tuned to receive, to communicate with, and to work together with, to resonate with every other part.
Mm-hmm.
So this is coherence. And when you are coherent, you feel this attachment, you feel this oneness with what you are coherent. It's like a tuning fork. Mm-hmm. We are resonate with a tuning fork that is now has been hit, has been given an impetus. Mm-hmm. And we are up to us to pick it up. Mm-hmm. I think you're picking that up very strongly as a psychic.
Oh, yeah.
But other people who are not as psychic need to pick it up as well. And that means we need to open our mind, mm-hmm. open our consciousness, mm-hmm. so that we can feel our oneness and feel the love which is there in every atom in the universe.
Sure, absolutely. My spirit friends on the other side, too, also tell me, Irvin, that there people have two minds. They have one third-dimensional mind between their ears. Then they have another mind called their heart mind. If they pay attention to their heart mind and listen and learn to think with their heart mind, they'll never get a wrong answer. That's what they tell me. Because you go into
doubt that the heart is really is a center of perception, a center of consciousness, mm-hmm. much more so than even the entire rest of the nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting that the heart is what starts to beat first. It's the first sign of life in an embryo, when the heart starts beating. And what makes it beat, we have all kinds of explanations in terms of biophysics, but we really don't know why it starts beating and why it keeps the entire organism always on track. Mm-hmm. If it's healthy, it's guided by the heart. That is the secret, I think, of life. Evolution in the universe. It's in our heart. Mm-hmm. It's in us. And I think to discover this and to believe in it to know it, to be guided by it, is really the way forward.
My spirit friends tell me they wanted me to tell you this, Urban, so this is a future research project for you, is that the heart mind is something like 2,000 times stronger than the logical mind people have.
Okay, that sounds fascinating. I'd like to get more guidance as to how we can research that. I think we certainly need very much to find concrete evidence that we have a heart that is a center of consciousness, a center of wisdom, the center of guidance.
I'll ask my friend, Professor Einstein about that, and I'll send you an email on that. So,
all that is wonderful. We need to form an alliance between those of us on this side in this dimension and those who are already in the next dimension so that we can move forward.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I wanted to ask you on a personal note, Urban, hope you don't mind, but what is life like living in Italy? We don't get much news about what's happening in Europe here. And so I'd love to hear you. Do you like it there, or is it locked down still?
I love it there. I love it here, but I can't say that I live in Italy. Sure, if I go into town to go into the supermarket and pick up, go to the gas station, but I don't really live in the culture. I love the culture because it's very open. It doesn't force you to join, to be them, to be part of it in a narrower sense. We can all be human. We can all live our own life. I live out in the country. This Tuscany, the hills of Tuscany, it's a vine-growing and olive-growing area. And I have a little part of it, and I love it, and this is where I live. So I live in nature. Around me is Italy, but around me is the rest of humanity, and I try to relate to one part of it as much as I relate to all the other parts.
If someone were to come up to you on the street there, maybe at your house or on the street, Urban, and you were shopping, and they said, Urban, how can I make, or how can we make this world a better place? I know that's a big question, but what advice would you give them?
My goodness, it's really what we've been talking about so far also.
Sure.
Connect, reconnect, find yourself. The answer is inside us. Recognize that this is possible, that we are empowered. We can follow a guidance, a force. We can follow advice. You can verbalize and locate that advice that's coming from particular individuals. I cannot do that, but I feel that there is a guidance. I feel it when I write, when I speak. I can very often just allow things to come and let it come. But this is the guidance, the advice I would give. Allow your deeper self to enter your consciousness because it will tie you together with the world around you. That's the binding force, the bond that we need. Your great advisor, Professor Einstein, has said at one point that in science we seek the scheme that can tie together the observed facts, the simplest possible scheme, he said, and tie together all the facts. Yes, that is the chance, that is the task of science. When we tie together the facts and we take the cosmos, all the facts in the cosmos, we find that these facts add up to a coherent, larger whole, a whole that is dynamic and it's moving toward higher and higher levels of coherence. And that, I think, is the realization that we need to live in this world. And if we live in that world, we live in that world of coherence, of evolution, of dynamism, then we project that around us. And we infect others, not infect them with a virus, and infect them with this belief, with this recognition that we are evolutionary, coherence-oriented beings moving toward greater and greater oneness in this dynamic, self-evolving universe.
My spirit friends say on the other side tell me, Urban, that this is a time of truth, that things that are true will become evident as being true, and those that are false will fall by the wayside. This goes true for personal relationships, including governments as well. so that if you have a government leader that's not honest with the people that they're supposed to serve, that they'll fall by the wayside and be taken out of office. And they also tell me, too, very interestingly, that the time from 2015, Irvin, to 2030 will be the most changeable times in human history for many thousands of years. And of all those years, this year, 2020, is the most changeable year, a lot of turmoil, a lot of challenges. And of that 2020, the period from July through December is very stressful, with November and December being the most stressful months. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in the next next couple of months and also next year as well. Go ahead.
Yes, I feel that. Mm-hmm. I know that there are many indices. There, an important indication is what you can intuit, what you can find. Mm-hmm. I know some of my friends who are into astrology. I'm not myself into that, but I respect that. And they tell me that there is even this, the position of the planets show that we are in an extremely critical and difficult period until at least about January, on the middle of January. So I sense it, I feel it in my bones, as it were, that we live in a crucial time. Mm-hmm. At the same time, it's an exciting time. What we have to do is avoid depression, avoid pessimism, mm-hmm. but look at the side of what we can do. Not to be positive, to be pessimist or negative or skeptical, but to believe in the possibilities. That is, I think, the new science, and I think the new spirituality is the possibility that we can realize is our own courage, is our own spirit, the force that is in us. Mm-hmm. That is how we can move forward. Mm-hmm. Any message that you can provide for this from these fantastic sources that you can tap into would be a tremendous value in reinforcing our endeavor to empower ourselves to move to the next level.
One of the things, I will be happy to meditate for you and get back to you early next week. I need a few days. But one of the things I really like about you and the spirits like about you is because in traditional science, Irvin, there seems to be a split between science, heart, so-called heart science, and spirituality. But in your work, you like to combine both in a new paradigm of believing and understanding what's really going on in the universe. And that's one thing the spirits really like what your work is.
I'm impressed by the fact that leading edge, cutting edge science, which we call quantum science, is really practically identical with deep lived spiritual insight. Mm-hmm. The oneness, the coordination, the connection, the memory, all these elements are there in leading science as well as in deep spirituality. You know, I'm coming out. You mentioned March. I'm coming out in a new book, which will be published. I'm not the one I just talked about, which will be published next week, but there's in this other one coming out March 9th, which is called The Immutable Laws of the Akashic Field. And I say these Akashic Field, the laws that we discover in the Akashic Field, mm-hmm. are the laws that we find in quantum science. But those are the same laws as 5,000 years ago, the Hindu seers associated this Akasha, this deepest dimension of the universe. So there's really nothing new under the sun, as it were, because we are rediscovering science as a new form of spirituality. So there is no gap between the two. A new science confirms the old spirituality.
Well, that date you have for this new book sounds wonderful, and I want to ask you, if you don't mind. I have my annual Galactic Wisdom Conference here outside Seattle on March 13th and 14th, and you're welcome to be a speaker there. I could either fly you over if things work out well, or you can attend by Zoom. Either way is fine.
Well, I would love to, yes, indeed. Let's hope that you can move by that time. I would like to.
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, the thing I really like about your work, Irvin, is that you're a light for the beacon. You're like a light beacon for the rest of the world. You don't write about doom and gloom. You don't write about the end of the world. You don't write about a third world war. You always write about positive topics on how we can make this planet a better place. And that's why I really love your work. all your books you've written is always have an important message for humanity in making this world a better place. And all the spirits, including Albert Einstein, Nostradamus, President Kennedy, and all the other spirits I talk to, all really appreciate your fantastic work in uplifting consciousness here on the planet.
Well, thank you, Ted. I feel I have a mission, and I try to live up to that.
One of the things, of course, the Fuji Declaration is a fantastic effort to raise consciousness around the world. How are they doing, by the way? I attended that event in 2015 in Japan.
Something I know, yes. We just concluded a project, which you can still find on the internet. Mm-hmm. It's the Source of Wonder. It's called the Source of Wonder. And it's there's a series of events. Over 200 people have sent in videos of their own experience in regard to the source. Because in the Fuji Declaration, we talk about the divine spark. You know, the Japanese spiritual leader, Masami Sayonji. I've been talking. We have been co-writing the Fuji Declaration with her. She talks about the divine spark.
Sure.
I talk about the Akashic field, you know. And we find that they match one thing as the other. So we wrote about the new source, which is the free field, and which for her is the divine spark. We talked about, in this new campaign on the internet, really, which involves, I think, 10,000 people have watched by now, and these videos, called The Source of Wonder. So I recommend that to you and to your listeners to have a look. You can still find it on the internet, Source of Wonders.
Wonderful. I'll watch it this weekend, Irvin. And tell me, I hope you don't mind me asking so many questions, but what are your future plans for future books, by the way?
Gosh, you know, I wait until it comes.
Okay, sure.
Right now, I want to finish a new book. I'm very close to finishing it because it's a rush book. It's breaking through all the old guidelines and trying to crash it into an immediate publication, which is now called the World Shifts Manual: How to Build a Better World. And trying to finish that. I have a book to be scheduled for in March about the Akashic Field. Another book scheduled for June, which is called The Wisdom Principles. And I'm working on that. So I'm working simultaneously on three books, but one of them is practically finished now, the Akashic Field book. But the other two, I'm just about to conclude the manuscript on it. So until I finish those, I don't even dare to open my mind to anything. I just have to make sure that I do my best with them.
Well, if I may, I'd love to send you my second book. I found a publisher in Munich, Germany, who will be publishing it. I was going to publish it in August a few months ago, but then the COVID thing hit, and so it's been postponed to next year. And if you like, I'd be honored if you'd like to write a little foreword or a little piece for the book, if you don't mind.
I'm delighted to look at it. You know,
okay.
I think what you do is a very great interest, and it's important. So I look forward to reading it.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful, Irvin. And we've got a few minutes left, and I don't want to take up too much of your time this evening, but is there anything else you'd like to talk about to wrap up your wonderful interview today?
Well, Ted, you know, we talked about the future of the world, the nature of the universe, and the dimension from where we are moving. So I think that is just about everything we could possibly talk about. We have already at least mentioned.
Sure.
It's a great privilege to be able to openly talk about these things and find a group of people who are willing to listening and taking seriously. I think it's the key to becoming a potent, a powerful person, not arms, not the military, not the police, but your own guidance, your own interior power. That is the kind of power we need in the world.
Well, I'll be meditating and talking to my good friends Albert Einstein and Nostradamus this weekend, and I'll send you an email, or we can talk again very soon if you like, and I'll give you their messages. They have lots to tell you, so I'm excited.
I'll be delighted and honored. Thank you. That is a wonderful prospect.
Wonderful, Irvin. And lastly, is there a website people can go to learn more about your wonderful work?
Well, it's irvinlaszlo.com. But there's a new website being built. I think some some version of it is already available, because I have a research institute, you know, the Laszlo Institute. So laszlo.com is a website that is will be flourishing, hopefully flowering, in about a week or two. Right now it's being built, but some parts of it I think you can already see. Oh. That means people can join, people can become members or fellows of this institute who want to participate in it. We can also invite people to donate, because we need something to compensate the people that are working with us and are willing to do research. They do their best they can, but we need to survive in some way. So anybody who can donate even smaller amounts, it will be much appreciated. So this is the new website being built, laszloinstitute.com.
All right, wonderful, wonderful. I'm supposed to be going to Europe next year, to England and Germany on a speaking tour. So if you're in Italy still, it'd be great to see you again if you have time.
Well, wonderful. If you can come to Italy, I have many friends here, and we can certainly arrange speaking for yourself.
Oh.
Up here in Tuscany, it's a good place to be out in nature, and to be surrounded by a culture that goes back 5,000-6,000 years easily around here. So one feels it somehow. That's the reason I came home. I came here because it's this ancient culture, and I think this is much more ancient than the human culture in it. It's probably a kind of, and you would know that better, it's a kind of a mystical place where there is some force that I felt when I first came here. What I found was an abandoned farmhouse. And people around me said, what do you want me to do with that? And I moved from Manhattan, from the middle of Manhattan. I moved here because I felt this is where I can be truly home. And we built it. We built this old house, which was first a chapel, then it became a farmhouse. And, you know, made it into my home where I can feel at home in nature.
Do you ever miss the congested city of Manhattan versus where you're living now?
No, I don't miss it. Mm-hmm. I like people. I like culture. I like cultural events. But I also want to be one with nature. I like to walk barefoot on the grass. Mm-hmm. I like to sit out and in the field and look at the sun and the clouds. Mm-hmm. And I like to go in to my study and into these ancient walls and try to write out what comes to my mind.
You know, when I visited you several years ago in Italy, I heard from people in the little village where we were at that there was a lot of farmhouses out there which were abandoned, and you could pick them up for not very much money. Is that still true in Tuscany?
I don't think so.
No?
Unless people now with the crisis might want to sell something. All the foreigners that came in, the German, the Dutch, the French, the English, they all came here, and Tuscany became very fashionable in a way. It's a cultural place, and every ounce, every stone that has been built is in somebody's hand by now. I don't know how it will develop, of course, with the current crisis, but right now it's not easy to find. But if you come here and you're truly interested, we can certainly inquire and see what's available.
Wonderful, wonderful. One last little story I want to share with you, Irvin, is kind of a fun story. I was sitting at a cafe when I was there visiting you at your wonderful conference, and I had an espresso coffee, a cappuccino, with a lot of white foam on top. And I was sending lots of love and light out, and suddenly the top of the cup turned into a beautiful heart. I've got a picture of that. I'll send it to you. But it shows the power of the mind, you know, like Dr. Moto talked about, the power of the mind to create your own reality. And it was just amazing. I'll never forget that day. So
that's amazing. That's wonderful.
Yeah. But that's what you're doing by raising consciousness and making this world a better place. And all the spirits have their support of you, including, of course, Albert Einstein, Nostradamus, President Kennedy. And I'll meditate this weekend and send you the messages next week.
That's the company I'd like to keep.
Wonderful. Wonderful, Irvin. Well, thank you so much for coming on my show today. It'll be played in San Francisco this weekend, and I'll send you the link when we play it.
Please do, because then we can put it on our own sites, and we have many friends who are watching for these things. I think they'll be delighted and interested to hear what we had to say.
Okay, good. And I'll also send you the link now, too. I'll be downloading this in a few minutes on Zoom, and I'll just send you the copy.
Excellent. Thank you, Ted.
All right. Thank you so much, Irvin. It's been too long, and I'm so glad we could talk today, my friend.
Let's pick it up again. Yes.
Oh, okay. All right.
Thank you.
Here. Arrivederci. Okay.
Bye.
Ciao. Arrivederci. Ciao. Bye-bye. Bye.